Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Good day to you. Welcome to Westchester Talk Radio, westchestertalkradio.com. I'm John Marino, and we are produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Robeson Oil, the house that serviced me. Lipolis Electric, don't be left in the dark. Get Lipolis. Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard. White Plains Hospital, also by Michael Lambriola, landscape design and construction of Armonk, and by Tompkins Mayo Pack Bank. We are on the beat in Westchester, and we are joined by John Bailey, publisher, editor of the White Plains Citizen Net Reporter. White Plains is citizennetreporter.com. Find it online. John Bailey, welcome back. It's been an interesting primary election season. The primaries were just a few days ago around our area. And the key race in Westchester was the race for county clerk, Tim Idoni, getting quite a battle from Yonkers City Councilwoman Shanae Williams. Why has Shanae Williams come so close in this race?
Well, from what I understand, she is getting a lot of votes in absentees out of Yonkers. And they are still being counted, so I guess we can look for those to be counted by the end of the weekend.
Mm-hmm. That's now, from what we know, it seems like Tim Idoni has a lead still, right? Tim Idoni still has a safe enough lead? Yeah. But until all the votes get counted, we don't know for sure.
But since his opponent is from Yonkers, and most of the absentee ballots are from Yonkers, that does not look good.
Uh-huh. Did Tim Idoni take this race too lightly?
Well, every time you're an incumbent who's been there in a while and done a good job, and you think it's in the bag, that is when you get burned, because he's been very low-key for the last 4 years. Very low-key.
Now, he's running for a fifth term in office after, I guess, 16 years in office now. Do people know what the county clerk does? For example, Tim Idoni modernized the office. Previously, before that, it was kind of operating in the old style under Leonard Spano, and Tim Idoni came in, digitized everything, got everything up to date currently with modern technology, which is important with what the county clerk does.
And you now have sales of, I think, real estate like recorded too sweet. And that is that was never the case in the old days. The records were outdated, and Idoni changed all.
If you get married, but it's not recorded right away, are you still married? Think about that.
That's a question for the Supreme Court.
For which the county clerk is the court clerk for a variety, of course, locally and, of course, the state of New York, right, too. How do you see this shaking out in the end?
Well, I think the challenger is going to win.
You do.
I mean, yeah, because of the alleged Yonkers tilt in the absentee ballots.
Uh-huh. Will this make a difference in how the clerk operates?
It better not. How can it operate any better? What really is involved here is who will be brought into the county clerk's office under the new leadership.
If there is a new leader.
If there is something like it, if they have vacancies. I mean, it's all about, a lot of people are employed in the county clerk, I believe.
Not, uh-huh.
But I mean, that's what you want. You want it to run well, as it's running now. And that is the big fear whenever you change something. It's like the presidency.
Uh-huh. Like any office, new people come in, they have their own ideas, they want to prove. It's like the people who I think run IT systems around the world are always changing things, I think, trying to prove their worth. Like they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And we see with all the IT that we deal with, obviously, that things change all the time. And you wonder why. Like, this worked before. I could do this in one step. Now I have to do it in three steps. But it makes those people valuable and viable, or at least viable in their own minds, right?
Like the inventor of voicemail.
You know what? That works, though.
No, it doesn't.
You don't think so?
People don't call you back.
Okay. All right. People don't call
you back.
I think it's the person and not the apparatus, though. I think it's the person.
Well, who do I call? I call people who don't want to talk to me.
You call me, I call you back. I call you.
Yes, I know, but you called me first, so I called you back.
Okay. But when you call me, I call you back. So seems to work for us. That's all that matters, right?
No, but we're gentlemen.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The people we usually call are not.
Right. I think in our business, what we do, there are those who call us back and those who swear they'll never call us back, right? But they do eventually, I think.
But they do send you press releases on occasion.
Yeah, that they do. That's right. I think they take that as their form of communicating with us, that they don't have to call back, just send a press release, right?
Right, which is missing a few really key facts.
And then we get that press release, which generates the next phone call to that person, too, right?
Exactly, which is never returned.
It's a round robin, like a big
circle. Yes, it is. But I mean, the voicemail is a tremendous waste of time. And as is cell phoning. Because, again, that happens, too. You get the message that the message box is filled and cannot take any messages at this time. Mm-hmm. I think that's a fallback answer thing. Yeah.
Let's move over to the city of Yonkers now. The city council president race, the incumbent Michael Cater, loses the Democratic primary to Lakeisha Collins Bellamy if she wins in November against the Republican Ron Matten. She would become the first African-American to head up the Yonkers City Council. She had the support of Mayor Mike Spano and other key players and figures around Yonkers. Mike Kadish, I think by some, was seen as a polarizing figure. Is this another instance of the change in how things are operating now in the Democratic Party, not only locally, but nationally?
I don't know how you interpret that. I mean, Mr. Kadar must have made somebody mad.
Right.
Otherwise, they never would have allowed that primary to take place.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the mayor would not have
your turn hasn't come yet. Yeah, your turn hasn't come yet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll keep you in mind.
Uh-huh.
Please don't primary. It will present, that's what happened in the White Plains Council 20 years ago. They elected a couple of Democrats, Mr. Hockley and Mr. Bernstein, and let's see, there was one other. But eventually, they sort of voted for things that Mayor Delfino wanted. And then, lo and behold, the Democrats refused to renominate them for another term. Mm-hmm. And I always felt that was so undemocratic of the Democratic Party because these people were elected.
Mm-hmm.
And the voters deserve to make the choice. But, of course, there is the old argument they're not out of step with what we want, so, and we reserve the right to renominate
mm-hmm.
somebody else. But I always felt that should have been challenged.
Is this all about right now changing demographics, whether it be by race, by age, et cetera, and what people who are up and coming want?
Number one, you have to, in today's political climate, particularly on the Democratic side, I mean, you have to indicate that you are definitely pro people of color, pro voters' rights, and however, you have to get someone into a position who is perhaps a minority, but a cooperative minority, if you get my drift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want somebody coming onto the new council who is not going to play ball. That's how it happened in White Plains when they appointed Nadine Hunt Robinson. She single-handedly dismantled the FASD project by voting no. And then they went, well, it's still not done. And that's what, so Ms. Robinson continues to be somewhat of a questioner, a gadfly in the council. And it will be interesting because right now, the situation is you definitely want somebody who will cooperate with what your administration wants.
Isn't it good to have a gadfly on the council here and there to kind of keep everybody else in check?
Yes, but they get swatted down. You need at least 3 to 4 gadflies on any council, and it's hard to get one. And I mean, it's just I saw this a lot happen during the Delfino years when there was a lot of discussion of projects. But since the Roach administration took over from Adam Bradley's ill-fated administration, we have not had that much pushback against whatever the mayor and wants to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, over to Mount Vernon, you talk about gadflies. Maybe no more gadflies or what are considered to be gadflies in the city council there. 3 new members getting elected. They are all aligned with the Mount Vernon Forward Project in that city, and they all align with Mayor Patterson Howard, Mayor Sean Patterson Howard, and the way she thinks. Also, Reverend Darren Morton getting elected as the new comptroller in Mount Vernon, and he is an ally of the mayor, too. With everything that's gone on in Mount Vernon through the decades there, with the mayor finally aligned with the city council, she'll have a supermajority now, and with the comptroller, might this settle things down in that city?
Well, it has to. The city has to get financially in order. They have to pay people. And that's sort of the number one thing the comptroller has to do, is pay people, which the previous one refused to do.
And refused or didn't have the money to do it, or the money wasn't sure it was there.
It's a mystery.
The mayor why would you not pay people the money? If you had the money? Which, well, that whole situation struck me that way. That tells me something was wrong there with the money, and they weren't sure they can make good on their responsibilities.
Well, there's always an excuse, but that's why we have a state comptroller to come into a city, take over, and find out what's going on, something he does not do too often. And here was a case when he should have. The people of Mount Vernon were being disturbed by that wrangling over the money, particularly the people who worked for the money.
So let's see if everything winds up in order in the city of Mount Vernon now. Rye City Mayor, Democratic primary, the incumbent, Joshua Cohen, defeats the challenger. And the challenger was kind of an upstart, Tagger Epstein. And the mayor, Cohen, had the support of the county executive, George Latimer. He had the support of Democrats and Republicans around Rye. Why does a challenger even step forward at that point then? Aren't you becoming a sacrificial lamb?
Well, it's for the future. You want to have a voice in politics and somehow. And I think that's why people do it. And certainly in White Plains, we do not have really anyone running in the common council.
So how do you get somebody? How do you get somebody?
Well, number one, you have to have a party that that acts like a party and doesn't cooperate with the Democratic establishment that is running the county and virtually every city. I mean, if the Republican Party is a joke in Westchester County.
No doubt about that. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I just mean it
joke
in
meaning
from the standpoint
ludicrous.
Of they're not there. They are not there.
That's right.
Do they Republicans around Westchester, does the party promote itself enough? It seems like to me they don't promote, whether or not you agree with a political party, I want to hear what they have to say.
I think
and
you're
part
right.
of that
they
is
don't.
Promoting the party.
They don't promote. They don't criticize policy of incumbents.
Why?
I mean, you well,
what's the point of having the party if you're not going to do anything?
Well, apparently the voters are really happy. If you're a Democrat, you get elected. I mean, you could run J. Fred Muggs and he'd be elected.
All right, but Schwarzenegger was a Republican. He got elected in California, so did Ronald Reagan.
But that was at the beginning of that huge conservative rise in the country. And California was at that was a time when we had 17% inflation.
So does it come down a matter of now, too, that everything just so leans Democratic so much that Republicans think it's a good thing to take a back seat until they see an opening?
They've been in the back seat for a
long time
years.
Now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's gotten worse. I mean, in White Plains, we do not have anyone even speaks out. The Republicans, if they had anybody who really wanted to work in the Republican Party in White Plains, all they have to do is come up at common council meetings and speak out. And they could have done that on Zoom. They could have done any number of things. They could have gone to meetings and spoken out when the mayor circulated. They don't do that. They don't do it. Mm-hmm. They are, I don't think, it's exasperating because what happens is you get what happens in New York. Like Governor Pataki actually ran 20 years ago and won. They never thought that would happen.
He won three times.
Yes. And he conducted a stable, sane Republican administration. I believe it was pretty darn sane compared to the last 4 years. But I mean, when you come right down to it, the conservative movement has been hijacked by a very irrational, you know, wing. Irrational and just highly, what can I say? Anything, they will not listen to reason.
Do you think George Pataki might run for governor again?
Well, he I believe, is older than I am, which is pretty old. And
I don't think that's old.
Yes, well, I'm 70.
Joe Biden is 78. He's the president.
Yes, but Biden is running out of gas. Don't you think?
I think people around him are being extra careful with him right now.
Look, I think he's taking on a lot on his plate. He's got a Democratic wing that is now disintegrating over that over the issue of the infrastructure, which is simply a construction bill anyway to please construction unions.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, this is, we've needed infrastructure for years, but it's,
I think social infrastructure should be a separate bill. I do. Infrastructure for roads, rails, bridges, tunnels, broadband, etc. One thing. Let's make a separate social justice and social programs infrastructure bill separately, and then we could really go in and hit some of the things that need to be hit with that specifically.
Well, I don't know how you do it, but the infrastructure has to stop being a pork barrel because it's what it's always been for 30 or 40 years.
Everything's a pork barrel
Kentucky
of some sort.
It's run by Mitch McConnell. When I drove through Kentucky about 4 or 5 years ago, every road was under construction in that state.
Sounds like New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now it is. Every road in the county. Yeah. Well, don't get me started on traffic.
I hear from people in other parts of the country and tell me how bad the construction is and how traffic is where they are. And I marvel at that. I say, how? You have like hardly any people out there, but road work is road work and it can back you up, as we well know from this area, the tri-state area.
It
by the way,
up every day, doesn't it? You
backs
do
up
traffic.
Every day. There's no
you do traffic.
I do
it's
traffic
stand
over total
still.
Traffic and yeah, right and produce why. There in this tri-state area. Matter of fact, there's a new study out this week that post-lockdown New York City is now the worst place in this country for traffic, tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. Los Angeles held that title since 1982. We are the winners again, and John, we've seen it ourselves out there.
New York is always number one.
I had no doubt. We're the worst. We're number one now. We bypassed. Somebody said to me, well, we were always number one. No, no, no. L.A. was number one since 82. We are number one now, and it's getting worse, and it's early summer. And like I tell my colleagues, it's going to be a bad summer, and they kind of agree with that. I'm pretty sure.
I'm waiting to see what the traffic is like moving out of town Friday.
Yeah, on July 4th weekend. Well, here we are on Thursday today. Everybody, a lot of people start getting out of town today on Thursday, so the roads today will not be good. Today is Thursday, July 1st, and the roads today will not be good around the tri-state area. Here we are early afternoon, 1:30 in the afternoon to be exact right now, and I'd say right about now, it will start to look like Friday on places like the Cross Island Parkway and the LIE and the Grand Central, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The Garden State Parkway, people heading to the shore, Connecticut Turnpike, the Merritt Parkway, people heading to Connecticut, up to Rhode Island, et cetera. And it is something we have to deal with. We didn't have to deal with it a year ago for the wrong reasons because of COVID, but we're back to the way we used to be and even worse than that. By the way, you talk about Republicans and not having a stronghold in Westchester anymore. One of the strongest Republicans in Westchester, Ron Belmont, mayor, supervisor in Harrison, stepping down. So we'll have a new leader there come November, and that could be a Democrat in Harrison. We had the Newcastle Town Supervisors race won by Holly McCall from the Democratic Newcastle Party, defeating Lisa Katz from United Newcastle. So Newcastle is known to be very liberal. It'll stay that way, obviously, too. As we move around the county, let's look at the county executive's race. George Latimer running for re-election, unopposed on the Democratic side. He does have a Republican challenger, or sacrificial lamb, as I like to say, Christine Schulte, who worked in the administration of former county executive Rob Astorino and also in the administration of one-time Yonkers mayor Phil Amacone. What's her reason for running? And she's got to know that she has nary a chance to win. I have to say that.
Well, she should also be told that the election is, but what? It is now July, August, September, October. She has 4 months.
Right.
And nobody knows this person. She hasn't campaigned. She had many opportunity to come out and comment on the State of the County speech.
On anything and everything.
Anything and anything that Mr. Latimer has done or legislated. And, you know, the big criticism of Mr. Latimer, if I was running as a Republican, would be that the legislation he has passed is feel-good legislation because these persons afflicted by anything that the legislation prohibits has to bring suit themselves. If the county would bring suit, it's a much stronger statute. But every one of his helping legislations to prevent discrimination, the bad employment practices, it's very good, but you have to hire your own lawyer to do it. The county isn't going to do it for you. That's the big flaw. And this is the way they write it because the county doesn't want to get into the public defender business. That's the way I see that. But so that is one criticism that could be leveled. Republicans could pick up the Republican candidate could pick up the law and order cudgel. They have nationally.
Right. Okay. Yeah. But is this her running? Is this just an attempt by Republicans to say, hi, look, we're here?
Yes.
Nothing more than that, it seems.
Well, my feeling is there has to be. They could have run Ron Belmont, for God's sake.
They could have.
That's
but Ron
right.
Belmont well stepping known. Down as mayor, supervisor in Harrison, that
yes,
tells me
well-known
Ron may not want to deal with the political world anymore.
Well,
without knowing
know,
for sure.
You don't know what issues
until you
are
ask,
facing
right?
Harrison.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
You don't know. But he will say he wants to spend more time to his family. That's what they usually say.
Right. They always say that.
That's right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Fallback position. So they never really answer the question. Ron might very well, but I don't really cover Harrison because
right. Ron would
nothing
run
happens
well,
in Harrison.
No, Harrison's pretty quiet.
So, yes, exactly.
And it has been like that for many, many years. And I have a feeling it'll stay like that for many years to come. Talking about being pretty quiet, a reopening from COVID. Are we moving in the right direction with the reopening? Are we doing this too fast? The governor threw the doors open. Hey, we hit 70%. Everybody go out and have a party.
Yeah, 70% with one shot.
With one shot. Yeah. Right. Whereas I go by what professional sports leagues and teams do. It's 85%. Basically, the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, the NFL, for the league to lift restrictions, you got to hit 85% for individual teams like the Yankees, Mets to lift restrictions. Got to have 85% of the people within the organization vaccinated. So why aren't we using 80 to 85%? Health people I talk to say 80 to 85%. Well, why are we at 70, yeah, not only in New York State, but everywhere?
Well, the problem is that people are not getting vaccinated. They have one, they're not going to get the second, and they're afraid. They think, and my feeling is, take the second shot. How could it hurt? You've already got your appointment, at least in New York State. We've done a very good job of setting it up so you know 4 weeks from now or 3 weeks you get the shot.
Right.
People aren't coming back for them. In fact, Mr. Latimer, the county executive, said Monday that vaccinations are slowing down. First time they've admitted that. I've been reporting it for a month, but they finally got around to reading that. And to my way of thinking, this is not good, because there was a forum in Westchester County today, Tuesday, held by Berklee College, with experts talked about the post-COVID syndromes that are cropping up: loss of memory, anxiety, and just generally inability to cope because of mental problems caused by COVID. And now those are just the persons that are had COVID. Now, if you're not vaccinated at all and you don't want to get it, you are going to get this disease if you encounter it.
I do know a number of people that no matter what, it seems like they're not going to get vaccinated. I know somebody who had COVID a year ago in the early days, was laid up for 5 weeks, not in a hospital, but at home, could not work, lost her job when she tried to go back to work. And you can't do that to somebody in New York State. So she did have a legal matter with her then former employer, which they settled, and good for her. Obviously, she's moved on to an even better job, as it turned out. Mm-hmm. Like I say, good for her. But you talked to her, I did a couple of days ago, about getting vaccinated, and she said, look, you got vaccinated. I'm not going to get vaccinated. Nothing you can do to talk me into getting vaccinated, and that's it.
And she's had no post-COVID syndrome.
She's had no post-COVID symptoms, apparently.
She's very fortunate.
That is good. Like I told her, you are one of the fortunate ones. If you don't believe me, go look up pitcher on the Red Sox, Rodriguez, who last year missed the entire season and had myocarditis, I believe it was, a heart-related condition you can get from COVID, why he missed the season after he had it. Or Marco Rossi from Austria, a hockey player who was the number one draft choice in Minnesota last year, 19 years old, got COVID back in November, was sent home. And I guess he's recovered now, but from what I understand, at the age of 20, he refuses to talk about it. One of the top athletes in the world, first round NHL draft choice, refuses to talk about his COVID experience. What more, besides 4 million people dead around the world, what more evidence do you need to go get a vaccine that, you know, maybe you'll get the shakes or whatever the first time, second time, maybe you'll get a low grade, even a middle grade fever or some other reaction to it. Once that subsides, that's a lot better than having to deal with COVID, and for those who've had it before, dealing with COVID again.
Yeah, but getting back to your original question, I think they're opening it up too fast.
I do too.
I do not think you can put 50,000 people in a baseball stadium and assure yourself that they're not going to spread COVID. I think we do not have the evidence that the COVID Delta variant is here already.
It's here. It's in at least 13 states. It'll be the number one prevalent form of COVID in this country.
And we are letting everybody come to New York because we have to get tourists back. That's a big mistake. They have to work in the quarantines if they test positive. I don't know if they're still doing that at the airports. I don't think
they are. I don't think so, from what I understand.
I mean, the governor has thrown it all out the window, which surprises me. It's something
I'm not surprised. I'll tell you why. Here's why. Last year, I said, come Memorial Day, we'll relax some restrictions because business is needed on the Jersey Shore and the Hamptons. This would be around the tri-state area, not just New York State. Mm-hmm. What happened right before Memorial Day last year, we relaxed a good amount of restrictions at that time to open some things up. Had to wear a mask everywhere, be protective, distance, et cetera. But we opened in a lot of ways last year in 2020, Memorial Day weekend for summer. We shut down a bit more after summer. And then as we hit springtime and the numbers started to go down, I said, here we go again. It's going to be Memorial Day, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Jersey Shore, the Hamptons. They need the money. They need the business. They sustain all year in what they make mostly during the summertime. And we did it again, except everything just thrown wide open overnight. Governor Murphy saying that we can't reopen yet. Not enough people are vaccinated.
And then,
later, it was Memorial Day weekend. And everybody's partying on the Jersey Shore. Jinx. Down in Point Pleasant and every place else, or out in the Hamptons. I've been in the Hamptons a few times recently to work public address at some high school baseball games, and I went out there on my own a few days ago. I'd say about 80% of the people around the Hamptons don't mask up anymore. I do when I'm out there. Whereas you come closer to home in Westchester and Queens and the Bronx, most everybody's still masking up from what I see. And it's just a difference in how people look at things. And I think we're heading for problems by doing it this way. I think we still are in the middle of the ball game, maybe about the seventh inning right now. Or I look at it this way. You take an athlete is injured. Unless you really need him back for a key playoff game or a championship game, will you rush that athlete right back into playing? No. You'll take your time with that athlete and make sure he's okay. If it's a three-week recovery period, you might give him four and a half weeks. Same thing with reopening here. Okay, you think it's okay to reopen? Why don't we wait a little more just to play it safer?
Yes, because the hospitalization rate was down to 11 at the beginning of this week. It's absolutely great news because the vaccination is definitely working. It's worked for 10 straight weeks.
Mm-hmm.
No, more than that. April 1st.
More than that, yeah.
So, yes, right. It has worked. It has gotten the COVID infections are gotten lower and lower, and the infection rate is now under 0.005% in Westchester. Mm-hmm. That is really a tribute to the fact that the vaccine is doing the job.
Right. John Bailey is the publisher, editor of White Plains Citizen Net Reporter. WhitePlainsCitizenNetReporter.com. Find John at WhitePlainsCitizenNetReporter.com online. Covers the city of White Plains, the surrounding area, and all of Westchester, top to bottom for you there at the White Plains Citizen Net Reporter.
Well, we sort of.
I'd like to get a straight story on kids. And are they COVID carriers or not? I could spend 24 hours a day flipping channels, getting one report that says, well, they're among the biggest carriers. I can go to the next channel, and that channel says, we all know kids don't carry COVID. I can go to the next channel, and they say, well, you know, they're carriers, maybe not as much as some think. I go to the next channel, and they say, well, they don't carry much, but they do carry some. Leaves my head spinning. I spent a good amount of last night in the middle of the night doing this, by the way.
There is no reason to even say things like that on either side because they're easily provable here in New York State. You take a look at the COVID infections by the schools, which is right up there in the state. God help us if the governor ever suspends the statistical service on the COVID.
Because so do you think come September schools will be fully reopened all over the state?
Yes.
You do.
They have to be. Otherwise, people cannot go back to work and get the economy going. Now, that calls into question how the summer is going to go. To your point, you think, as I do, that they're opening it up too soon. I feel really uneasy. I went to a restaurant last night, sat in a corner, and had a couple of fruity drinks.
Yeah.
To make sure.
A few fruity concoctions,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. Right. And
by the way, I've gone to a couple of restaurants in the past few weeks, but sitting behind plexiglass in.
Yeah, but I'm not comfortable eating out. I don't know who's in the restaurant.
Right.
And I feel so sorry for the waiters and servers who have to wear masks. Now,
right.
They have to wear masks.
What does that tell you?
What does that tell you?
To me, we don't get back to full normalcy until we can go into a store, into a restaurant, and nobody has to wear a mask, customer or employee. Once
that
we can do that
nice.
Again, then I'd say problem solved until that point. No, we have to be extra careful.
And this opening theaters is one of the dumbest decisions I've ever seen the governor make, because those places are fire traps anyway.
Right, and talk about being cramped in.
Right. And when they have been very fortunate, they've never had a theater fire disaster in New York. Now, they could have a COVID disaster very easily. The tourists come in, those very confident tourists who aren't getting vaccinated, that we don't check to see are vaccinated when they come
right.
into the state. And the theaters at least could say, if you're from out of town and you buy these tickets, you have to send us a copy of your vaccination. They're not going to even go to do that. They have so little regard for the theater-going public. It is amazing.
I don't know about the Mets and Yankees games. You go to a Mets or Yankees game, and you're on the honor system whether or not you were vaccinated or where you sit.
Well, it used to be you had to show a vaccination card to get in.
Yeah. Yeah. Now
game,
I think
right?
they may have been
now
relaxed.
Now they don't have to do
so,
that?
You know,
what idiots.
Been relaxed and not. That keeps changing, too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
it's like the honor system. Can you trust people on the honor system? Yes or no?
No, the honor system doesn't work.
No. So that's why I think most of all we have to be extra careful at this point. Indian Point is closed over in Buchanan, the Indian Point Energy Center. How has that gone for people around this area so
well,
far?
Well, gee, remember the disaster they said was going to overtake us if we closed Indian Point? Well, it
right.
hasn't. We have
right.
so much power. This is the hottest summer in New York State history in this county. Okay? It's got to be. I haven't had any outages. Knock on wood, for goodness sake. And I haven't heard of widespread Con Ed cutbacks, and they've really handled it, and we have to compliment them on that.
I think Con Ed is doing extra to make sure that we conserve energy during this heat. Yesterday, I spent the entire day on my home phone getting Con Edison messages, got a few already today. My cell phone just went off and just buzzed all day long yesterday with amber alerts from Con Ed basically saying conserve power. So we can conserve our energy here. Do all you can. Mm. Yeah. So I think they've gone the extra mile.
That's a good idea. I mean, what we have to do also is we keep our air conditioning down into the mid-70s, you know, because we don't want to strain it. And that
right.
is always helpful.
Uh-huh.
All you need to do is take that humidity out. But this is wretched weather. It broke today. But it's still pretty humid. And
yeah, it's still a heat wave due to the humidity. We are still in that heat wave. So
terrible, terrible.
So
Six
those
days.
Wind farms off Montauk that the governor had constructed 23 miles off the shores of Montauk, those wind farms being put together, I guess they're working so far, right? Do you think those wind farms off Montauk will effectively radiate during the sun, during the cold winter months and keep warm, or help keep cool during the summer, stretch
well,
all the way up to Tivoli in northern Dutchess County?
I had forgotten to check to see what the construction was going on those. I'd totally forgotten about it with the last year. But so do we have the first ones yet up in
Yeah, they're working, I believe. You know, getting them
they're
in step
working?
By step. I think there's something that might be working. Not totally sure about that. You hear different things, but it's still going to be a long time before it's totally completed. My question is, do you think those wind farms can help keep us cool during summer and warm during winter from Montauk all the way up to say Northern Dutchess County to Tivoli in northwestern Dutchess, tri-state area.
Yes, because the wind power and the solar power are definitely contributing to generating power for the grid, and they're generating it at slightly less than Con Ed will charge you. And it's a very good thing. I have the green power rate that Westchester Power delivers, and I'm real happy with it because I don't even look at the electric bill every month because I know that if I conserve, it'll be more, but it will be less than what Con Ed would charge me.
So you think people will head in that direction if proven to work, wind farms and going green, that they'll steer away from the traditional power companies to save.
It's been proven to work.
And if it continues to prove to work.
Yes, it does. And I am very impressed that people are now putting solar on their homes, going for it, whether or not. This is good. I mean, I would put solar on my house, but I'm going to be getting rid of it soon. You know,
where are you going?
I may die, you know.
No, you won't.
Everybody dies. It's just a matter of time.
You've got a long way to go.
I hope so. But
so make sure you have a place to live. Stay where you are.
Well, the problem is that my wife does not like his stairs in the house. She wants to move to an apartment. And I really hate apartments. When I was beginning of our marriage, we had a really lovely apartment with the coveted, parquet floors, okay?
Right.
Oh, man, that was an apartment. It was it was nice and spacious.
Like the Boston Garden was back in the 80s, right? The parquet floors.
The parquet floor.
Uh-huh.
That was part of the mystique.
Yeah. All right, really, so how about a two-level condo or co-op? She can stay on one level, you can go up and down.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's a thought, right?
It's a thought. I mean, I really don't want to move.
As long as you can keep doing what you're doing, that's the whole key. As long as you're able to be in a place where you can set up your home studio and set up your home office and do what you do, that's what's key, right?
That's another key thing. What kind of Wi-Fi
space, right? Wi-Fi.
Are you stuck in with the apartment you're moving into? It's a very key factor, even if you don't do a website, you know.
Right.
But I mean, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Right. Yep, hopefully you'll stay where you are and not have to worry about that anytime soon.
Yes.
John, Right Playland is open. Not really, though, in the way we know it, I guess.
They had a fantastic weekend.
They did.
Unbelievable. They had as good an attendance as they ever got on any three-day holiday weekend. 14,
and yet all the protocols are in effect, right, about wiping down, tremendously wiping down everything, right?
Right. Well, it makes people confident. But the fact that they got so many out on a somewhat dicey day on Saturday and a lovely day Sunday, and that's incredible, an incredible achievement. And they are to be congratulated for winning people's confidence. And people also are showing that they really love Playland. They miss it. Now, whether this will keep up, like Saturday looks a little dicey on this three-day weekend, and Sunday looks a little dicey, but the weather forecasters, the National Weather Service, have not been able to accurately predict these weather masses as they used to in the past. When they said you would get thunderstorms, you'd get them. The last 4 days, they predicted them. They didn't happen. They did not happen.
I had them in my area last night for a bit. They were pretty strong.
Yeah,
a lot of rumbles of thunder, too, and then they passed within.
Yeah, we had very little of them down
at the most 30 minutes. Yeah.
But I mean, weather forecasting is very hard, and I'm beginning to realize that.
Playland being open, getting the attendance it did, I think it shows most of all how much people wanted to get out.
Well, Mr. Latimer did mention that, but really, if he'd only gotten 4,000 out, he wouldn't have mentioned that.
But it is what it is, as they say, right?
Well, let's hope it works. And also, the big thing that he has not mentioned is whether or not Nick Singer of Standard Amusements is going to associate with the county management of Playland this year, observe what's happening, and also reveal what they want to do beginning January of 2022.
Does it matter who manages Playland as long as they manage it the right way?
Well, it matters a great deal of taxpayer money because the county is going to spend $100 million on the park that Standard Amusements is not going to spend, okay? And I also, it has been said that they're going to spend $160 million all total down the line. This is really inflating the Playland debt exponentially. And, you know, the whole deal previously that they didn't want to do would have eliminated the Playland debt.
So right, now, Playland has gone on like Fastney and White Plains, right? Like the French American School of New York situation, very similar to me.
Well, the key to stopping something you don't like is to use the courts, challenge contracts, and in fact, just yesterday afternoon, a decision came down from the second, the appellate court's second department in Brooklyn that White Plains cannot use eminent domain to condemn their urban renewal designated zone over West Post Road. And they said that the city could not do it without explaining a cause, a purpose, and what the public benefit would be. And they had to do that. The whole decision is on my site. And this really is something that throws a monkey wrench into every urban renewal or development that a city suggests for the benefit of a connected developer.
So what happens now?
What happens now? Well, I was speaking to a property owner just this morning on it, and he was telling me that the hospital has already purchased the dental building on the corner of Lexington Avenue and West Post Road, which they have wanted, and that would have been one of the parcels the city would have acquired for them if they indeed were acquiring it for the hospital. And so the property owner now says they're no longer interested in the buildings across the street. And the city has also purchased the Firestone property and the little gas station property right down from it. So it remains to be seen what the city is going to do with that. So once again, a point whereby the city a little dicey on their legal advice here.
Mm-hmm. You know? Might this go on for another decade now?
Not the hospital. So the hospital gets usually what it wants. And now the hospital, all they have to do is just buy the, if they should want the property across the, from them on West Post Road, they just have to go in and buy it from them. So the owners will make more. Mm-hmm. That's why you don't want to be eminent domain.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's taking away your investment. Fasney, until that lawsuit gets settled.
And like you say,
then they
you
may
keep it in the courts. A lot of money gets made for the attorneys, right? They made
yes,
a lot of money.
Your profit center.
No
Fasney
doubt about
is a
that.
Profit center.
Uh-huh. I think last year you said come July 2021, a verdict would be handed down on June 30th. You hit it right on the head.
Really?
Yeah, I think you said that about a year ago to me on the
well,
show.
Well, if you say so, John.
Yeah.
I'm like a politician. I
That's
never know,
like
remember,
what I remember
what I said.
Right? Uh-huh. I there you go. Well, go with it. There, you hit it right on the head, June 30th. There you go. Beginning
well,
of July.
I really came out. Look, always my thing. That when you go into a three-day holiday weekend and nobody's paying attention,
right.
That's when the bomb drops.
Or Sunday night.
Yes, or Sunday night. That's a good way. Friday night is the best.
That's the best.
That's the best time
for a court ruling.
Press conference at midnight. Yeah. Nobody's covering it. Nobody's watching it.
Right. Well, we meant to issue this on Thursday. We were busy. And Monday, no, and you know what? Let's get it to you now. We'll have a lot more to talk about on Monday. We'll get it out on Sunday night.
But that's what they do. They manipulate the news. And the worst thing that has happened in the last 5 or 6 years is how governments are using Facebook as a
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everything.
It is an absolute nightmare. I mean, and if they did that to the actual news media folks, this would be much better. But they realize that they can co-opt the press by appearing to be open and informative by going on Twitter. But lo and behold, when you see the number of people that actually watch County Executive Latimer's press conferences on Twitter, very low, less than 100 people. It's usually about 25 or 50. That's not much. He really gives the impression of being on the job, and he's not that he isn't. I'm just saying he gives the impression that I'm on it for you, like Con Ed.
Con Ed, but far better, folksy manner.
You know, Uncle George.
Isn't that what a politician is supposed to do? At least make you think he's working for you, which George to me always does.
Yes, he's a master at that, and it's quite a talent.
I mean, no doubt about that.
I can try and be sincere.
We both know George for over 30 years, I think he's a very dedicated public servant and came from the city of Rye, worked his way up to where he is now. Yeah. He worked his way through the county board, the state assembly, the state senate, now county executive. Will George Latimer
remembering every name of every person he ever met?
No doubt about that. George Latimer, I think, has the record for appearing in Westchester, around the tri-state area, and maybe in the Guinness Book of World Records. I think he holds the record for appearing at the most weddings, outdoor events, indoor events, carnivals, bar mitzvahs, baptisms, etc.
It is very successful. And you know what's really nice about George? He doesn't throw his jacket over his shoulder, which are 101.
Yeah, you're right about that.
You're right.
George's a regular guy, one of the guys. I always saw him like that.
Well, he's very formal. And that's what people really like. And, you know, another really good thing he doesn't do, he does not wear an American flag in his lapel. And I think that, again, marks him as
he's the kind of a guy you could run into on the street, see him in the corner deli, just a regular all-around guy. See him at church, no doubt about that, a regular all-around guy. Which begs the question, do you think George Latimer will one day run for governor of New York State?
Yes.
You do? When?
I do.
When?
Well, it depends on what King Cuomo does.
The investigation? How about that?
Has it happened yet?
Still going on, still no results. Well, we heard 60 days at the start. It's well beyond the 60 now.
If it does not come out before the election, you know, it will mean that they're covering for Cuomo because they realize that no other Democrat might be able to win other than Cuomo.
I think Cuomo runs again, and I think he wins again unless the report has something in it so damaging that he has no choice but to step away. And I think that will prevent anybody else from primarying him next time around, next year in 2022.
Well, what could possibly be more damaging that hasn't already been put out?
By changing the wording around about what might have happened to protect him.
But nobody's filed an actual civil
lawsuit. No, no one has.
All these allegations. There are so many lawyers who are very good at filing suits like that if they have the evidence. And they will only take a case like that if they think they've got them.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I think that says a lot.
I do, too. Does this beg this question? Was Letitia James, the attorney general, just trying to set herself up for a run for governor, potentially, by doing what she did? And maybe now she went a bit too far?
Well, it's hard to say what her motivation is. I mean, they got like 100 witnesses that dispositioning. This guy, Cuomo, must not have been doing any work. He must have been spending all sorts of time hitting up women throughout city governor. He maybe had the hit up hour, you know?
And remember, he travels to Albany, to Westchester, to his office in Manhattan. So, yet he's done a lot as governor, too. So, how did he find the time to do all that if he was busy doing other stuff?
If this was a sitcom, you would say that could never happen. Mm-hmm. But I mean, look, the governor did a great job containing COVID. He seems to be faltering in his resolve to open up with brains. And but I mean, he wants the people to love him. He wants business to love him again. And
I think this was the crux of all of this reopening the way we have now.
It certainly happened fast. Remember, second wave last year lasted twice as long as the first wave.
Right.
Even with the vaccine.
Right. And we don't want a another wave in the fall, obviously, which people I talk to seem to be worried about happening.
We will know 2 weeks after Labor Day, because that's when it will start.
Right.
But it depends on
late September. Yep. We'll have a good idea.
That's when it happened last year.
Yep. John Bailey, thank you as always for joining us here on Westchester Talk Radio on the beat in Westchester.
Always a pleasure.
TalkRadio.com. Always a pleasure to have you, John. John Bailey, the publisher and editor of White Plains Citizen Net Reporter, WhitePlainsCitizenNetReporter.com. Here at Westchester Talk Radio, again, we are produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Robeson Oil, the house that service built. By Lipolis Electric. Don't be left in the dark. Get Lipolis. By Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard. By Michael Labriola, landscape design and construction of our month. By White Plains Hospital. And by Tompkins Mayo Pack Bank. Catch all of our Westchester, Rockland, Putnam, Dutchess, Orange, and Fairfield County Talk Radio programming on our YouTube channel, Shark Creative YouTube. Download the app. It's called Westchester Talk.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio.
Powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative.
And made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit SafeSecureVinyl.com.